Colossians 1, verses 15 through 18. These are God's words. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Now, not many of you, or maybe you have, but not many other people, because I haven't really started using them for the purpose that I intended, have seen the new Hopewell business card, which on it has the line, where Christ has the first place in all things. Now, that's true at Hopewell. But what this passage teaches us is that's true everywhere, from the beginning of time, from all eternity, unto everlasting, in heaven and on earth, everywhere. This is telling us the amazing truth about who it is, if you look back at verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And the through his blood, I don't think, is original. That's not a majority text reading. That's a Textus Receptus reading. But in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, it's true that it's through his blood. That is how the redemption happened. Just like we heard from 1 Peter 2 on the Lord's Day morning, that he bore our sins in his body on the tree. Hebrews says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins or remission of sins. And so the amazing thing is, who is the one who bled and died for us? And that is God himself. There's a distinction here made between him and Adam, first of all, in verse 15. Adam was made in the image of God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Adam was the firstborn of humanity, who came at the end of creation. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation, meaning not that he was born, but that he is the rightful heir and Lord over all of the creation. Verse 16 tells us not only that all things were created through him and for him at the end of the verse, but all things were created by him. So he made all things through himself, for himself. Now there's this lie that people say that there's no such thing as a Trinity, and that the one that Jesus calls Father is Yahweh, but Jesus isn't Yahweh, and the Spirit isn't Yahweh. If that were true, if Jesus was less than God, and he made all things through himself and for himself, he would not be good. He would be a devil. All creatures must do all things for God's glory. But we know that the one who made all things and himself is therefore unmade, right? Like John tells us in John chapter 1, all things were created through him, and without him nothing was created that was created. So he's the uncreated creator. Same thing here. By him all things were created. Through him and for him. He is the living God. And look where he made everything. created things that are in heaven and that are on earth. This is not only the heavens that we know of, or that we are able to see, rather, so with the sun and the moon and the stars in them, but even the creation of creatures that we don't know about their creation. We don't know from Genesis chapter 1 about the creation of the angels. That's not told to us. But we do know from Colossians chapter 1 who made them. And that is the one who became a man so that his perfect obedience could be counted for us. So that his atoning blood could be shed for us on the cross and take away all of our sins. He is the living God. There is no authority, no throne or dominion or principality or power except that he made it. He is before all things. This is one of the ways that God is described from everlasting to everlasting in the scriptures, one of the ways that Yahweh is described. And in him, all things consist. And so when Jesus, for instance, in the Gospel of John says, before Abraham was, I am, he's claiming to be Jehovah. It's one of the reasons why they stoned him. Or tried to at that point. And here, Colossians is saying, Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is Yahweh. Now, the amazing thing is not only did he take a body that he could shed blood in order to die for us in that body, but he has also taken the church as his very own body. Now, what is it called when a man takes a woman to be as his very own body, and cares for her as himself? That's marriage, isn't it? And so when it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, it is talking about something amazing. Not only that Jesus came down and humiliated himself to become a creature so that he could bleed and die for us, but that he raises us up. He raises the church as a whole, and us as members of it, as part of it. He raises the church as a whole up and gives the church his own glory, joins the church to himself forever and ever, and loves her as himself. There's nothing else in the creation that God loves as himself. That would be a blasphemy. That would be a wickedness. Do you see what a glorious thing God has done for his church? That he has taken her as his bride. That's what the Song of Solomon is all about. The great king and the unworthy girl who's lowest of the totem pole, even in her own family. And she is raised up until she is a queen whose character and honor and dignity finally at last by the king's patient labors for her, her character and dignity and glory and honor are a reflection of, a refraction of, a display of his own. Well, that's what the Lord has done for his church. He brought himself down, and he did rise again. He has been exalted, but he did so that he could lift us up. Not only did he go down to die, but he has risen again from the dead, and we are guaranteed our resurrection by his resurrection. He has the first place in all the creation. He has the first place in redemption and in the church. It's all about him and his glory. So if that's true about the creation generally and the church generally, then that must be true about your life specifically. That your life would be about the glory of Christ. The glory of Christ who made you. The glory of Christ who became a man and shed his blood to redeem you. The glory of Christ who will make you one day to be exactly conformed to his own glory. So let your heart love him and aim at his glory in your life. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this portion of your word, which has reminded us again that you are the living God from everlasting to everlasting. You made all things. They were all made through you. They were all made for you. And yet it is you who have given yourself for us, and it is you who have taken us as a church to be your bride. And you raise us up even as you have risen yourself. Help us to love you. Help us to love your glory. Help us to see how much you have loved us so that we will love you because you first loved us. Help us to aim at your glory in all of our life. Help us to be confident of that perfect glory that we will see you in and that we will radiate with ourselves in the last day. Grant all these things by your Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.